connect with the program, call 800-387-8025 or visit the show online at rudymaxa.com. Welcome back to America's number one travel radio show.
In just a moment, can passenger rail service survive in these United States? But first, this portion of the program is sponsored by LifeLock. There's a common assumption that about identity theft that a lot of people believe it's just credit card fraud. But credit card fraud is only one form of identity theft. If you're just protecting your identity by monitoring your credit and checking bank statements, you could miss some forms of identity theft, like your information being for sale on the dark web, someone getting an online payday loan in your name, or even someone stealing from your 401k accounts. Fortunately, there's LifeLock. They use proprietary technology to detect and alert you to a wide range of identity threats. If you got a problem, one of their U.S.-based identity restoration specialists will work to fix it. Now, no one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but if you act now, you can get the added protection of Norton Security free for the first year when you bundle Norton and LifeLock memberships. Plus, for a limited time, you'll also get a special 15% discount off the first year of your LifeLock membership with promo code Rudy, R-U-D-Y. Simply call 1-800-LifeLock or go to LifeLock.com and use the promo code Rudy, and you'll save 15% on that first year today. You can also find a link at RudyMaxa.com. Well, it's budget season in Washington. We're going to be hearing a lot more about that in September. And one of the things in the White House that really takes a hit in the proposed White House budget, it's never the final budget, but it's what the White House would like to see, what the new president would like to see, is a huge slashing in money for Amtrak. Now, Amtrak just hired a new CEO. It's the former head of Delta Airlines, Richard Anderson. But the question is, what's wrong with American passenger service particularly? Jim Matthews thinks about that all the time. He's the president and CEO of the National Association of Railroad Passengers. I underline the word passengers. It tries to work with Amtrak, government officials, and the public to get more support for Amtrak. Jim, you must have been a bit crestfallen when you saw the White House proposal for Amtrak funding for the future, yes?
Hi, Rudy. Yeah, I guess crestfallen, we'll use that word for now. I think I might have used a stronger word.
You weren't thrilled. Why do you think passenger rail service gets such short shrift?
You know, some of it is just a historical anomaly. You know, if you look at the way that transportation developed in the United States versus other countries, there's an awful lot of subsidies for the early days of air and of course, the Eisenhower interstate system. And those subsidies over time really distorted what had been the best rail network on the planet. And this went on for decades and decades and decades. So you're looking at decades of not just underfunding, but sort of cultural neglect and policy neglect. So we aren't where we should be, and we certainly aren't anywhere near where most of our peer countries in the world are.
Well, the argument is, it works in Europe and in Japan because the major cities are so close together, so people will hop on a fast train happily. Our cities, you know, if you want to go from Washington to L.A. in a train, even if it were a super fast train, it would take, you know, a couple of days, or I don't know how long it would take, but it'd take a long time. So the argument is we can't do Japan, we can't do Europe. We can't even get the East Coast right where everything is close. You go Boston, New York, Wilmington, Philadelphia, Wilmington, Baltimore, Washington. We can't even get that. We've got 106-year-old existing railroad tunnels. We've got tracks that can't handle the cars that are, I mean, the locomotive, the Acela locomotive can go faster than it's allowed to because the tracks are old and curvy because there's real estate in the way. Why can't we get even the East Coast right, which is actually a profitable route, I understand?
Well, you know, we need to unpack some of that. First of all, there's this idea that the Northeast Corridor, that route from Boston down to D.C., is profitable and the rest of the system isn't. The fact is that all of those routes, if you add in the capital cost, none of them make money. Because that would be true for almost any transportation mode in the United States. None of them make money. Airlines are subsidized to the extent that they don't have to pay for air traffic control. Roads only cover 54% of their costs. I mean, it's all subsidized. Mm-hmm. Now, that said, the Northeast Corridor actually suffers from its density because, as you said, you know, the ideal answer is to straighten the track. Well, there's an awful lot of very expensive real estate in the way. So that's not necessarily a practical answer. So you wind up with these compromises where you build trains that aren't quite as fast, but they can tilt and they can kind of make those curves work. And so, you know, any engineer will tell you that when you compromise, there's going to be trade-offs, and that's kind of what you're seeing in the Northeast Corridor. Is it a successful rail route? Absolutely. In fact, most of the rail routes in this country are successful if you look at what they do for the communities that they serve. And so when we talk about, well, no one's going to go from Washington to Los Angeles, well, you're right. You know, only about 10% of people ride those long-distance trains from end to end. The vast majority of trips are little trips on those routes in between. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the Empire Builder, for example, which goes from Chicago to Seattle, a lot of those trips are Minneapolis to Wolf Point, Montana. Places like that, places you're not going to fly, you're not able to fly, and there's no bus service. So if you live in Wolf Point and you need to get to the nearest big city, well, guess what you're going to do? You're going to get on Amtrak. And so that's really the utility of the long-distance routes.
Well, let's talk about those other towns. By the way, my guest is Jim Matthews. He's president and CEO of the National Association of Railroad Passengers, works to build coalitions with Amtrak, U.S. government, and the public to support Amtrak. One of the big things in the proposed White House budget is dropping of service to an unusually large number of small and medium-sized cities. What is the thinking behind that?
Well, you know, it's partly animated by some very long-standing conservative opposition to the entire idea of long-distance passenger rail. So some of it's philosophical. But then it is also animated by this myth that, well, long-distance routes lose money and the Northeast Corridor makes money. So we'll save the part that makes money and we'll get rid of the rest. But that's a myth. And if you strip the math and look at the math, you figure out that that's a myth. And so the cuts that they're talking about really wouldn't help anything. It's 225 communities that would lose their service. 144
wow.
million Americans would lose their access
wow.
to Amtrak if this went through. And Wick Moorman, the now departing CEO of Amtrak, recently said that if you were to cut these routes, far from saving money, it would cost Amtrak $423 million in additional cost to shut it all down. So you'd be eliminating most of the network, and you'd be paying more for less service. So I don't see how that makes much sense in any way other than a sort of political way.
Does Amtrak have, are there friends on Capitol Hill for Amtrak? Are the people, I mean, I know you're probably always talking to legislators. Are there big supporters who can change things?
There are, and that's a recent development. You know, we worked very hard in the last sort of, I'd say, 4 to 5 years building a coalition, we used to say bipartisan coalition, but it's really nonpartisan, to support rail. And if you look at the last surface transportation bill that passed out of the Congress in late 2015, it passed with 86% of the Congress in favor of it, and it included an enormous 5-year outlook for Amtrak. So as late as 2015, 86% of the Congress thought Amtrak was a good enough idea to have a growth path for 5 years. And that's still true because the senators, particularly that represent those rural areas where those trains are the vital transportation, whether they're Republican or not, they do support it because they get that there's economic development attached to it.
Right.
That towns like Whitefish and Wolf Point and all these small towns along these routes, a lot of them just wink out of existence if they don't have this service.
Really fast, Jim. We're running near the end of this 10-minute segment. Where does your budget? Where's the budget? Where do you get the money to lobby? Where does the National Association of Railroad Passengers get its budget?
Well, first of all, we don't lobby. We are a membership organization.
No,
we help our members get the information and the facts they need to act as citizen lobbyists, and they can talk to their congressmen, their representatives, their senators, and their mayors, and so forth. And so it's literally membership dues. You could join, your friends could join, it's literally individuals, grassroots, ordinary citizens, riders who just want to have a better transportation system in this country.
Is there anybody out there lobbying for Amtrak? I guess Amtrak is.
They're actually not allowed to.
Who's up pressing the case, except for constituents?
We certainly we certainly press the case, and we use our members to do that. Certainly we do meet with as many folks on Capitol Hill as we can. So we're out there, and so are they.
Well, Jim, thanks so much for joining us. Best of luck in your efforts. We'll be right back. Robert and Mary are going to answer the question of what if you're about to move and live abroad? What do you do about health insurance? Stick around.
Join Rudy Maxa's World with the Carries by calling 800-387-8025. Access the show anytime at rudymaxa.com. We'll be right back.